Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Service Care Limited FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Kajol Gowda from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to Service Care Limited FY23 earnings conference call. From the management side, we have Mr. Anil Kumar, Executive Director, and Mr. Amit Rakhecha, Chief Financial Officer. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Anil. Over to you, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Anil from Service Care Limited. I'm the Executive Director. So I just wanted to welcome each one of you for this inaugural conference call of our company, Service Care Limited. After the IPO, I think it was a time where we probably examined and explored the performance, what we have done in 2023. Your presence today is truly appreciated, and I'm thrilled to engage with all of you for this discussion. Before we deep dive into the objective of this particular meeting, I just want to give an overview about the company. We have established in 2011 as a company, as a private limited company. Today, we are Service Care Limited, and we basically are a player who's into solutions around staffing and outsourcing and catering to multiple industries across the globe, I mean, across India right now. So we are backed up with close to about around 23 years plus experience from a promoter standpoint of view, and the company has gained trust and credibility among our esteemed customers across the nation. Currently, we have headquartered of Bangalore, and we have our registered office in Chennai and Hyderabad as well. Just getting into the services that we offer, we basically broadly have been operating in two different verticals. We manage the workspace administration, which basically serves around the facility management and the business services for the corporates and the domestics. We have the second vertical, which is workforce administration, which includes the diverse staffing solutions, outsourcing, recruitment, payroll management, again, for the multiple verticals that we serve across and domains that we serve across. As a part of the growth, we today have a robust team of close to about around 5,800+ professionals serving with different clientels, hailing from manufacturing, engineering, infrastructure, IT, government, banking, I mean, across the domain, including the F&Bs, educations, FMCGs, so on and so forth. So we kind of touch upon all the verticals which is currently in demand for this particular services. Basically, our strategy commitment is evident through our initiatives, and we embrace the skill development, workflow optimization through our digitization, and we also offer the social security benefits to our workforce, which actually keeps us together and probably is one of the names where we are banked on today to our customer sales. So as we stride forward, just to give a glimpse about a few of our customers and nature of customers that we have, we serve to multiple industries, as I was telling you earlier. A few of the names are like the L&T Group. L&T Group have multiple verticals: L&T Constructions, L&T Geostructures, L&T ECCs, L&T IT, Ashok Leyland, ACC. We serve to Aditya Birla Group. We are with IT/ITES industry like Zenith, National Instruments, the healthcare industries like Omega. We work with State Bank of India. These are a few big names that we currently are engaged, and it's a long-time alliance that we have, which is taking us probably to the state what we have today. Having said this, I just want to take everyone's attention to a small insight about our industry because this is a pretty volatile industry, and then OpEx way of services is increasing globally across. So just to give an insight, this industry is basically experiencing a heavy growth across and with an escalating demand for workspace and workforce solutions. Our outsourcing facility management services has become a trend. Many of the companies have been operating on the facility management and operation services, which is on an OPEX model, and many of the companies are adopting this to be professionally driven, wherein service providers like us comes into picture and then make it effective in terms of we managing their facility and they managing their business, which actually is helping us to be positioning pretty good. And to add to it, not as an advantage, but during the pandemic and aftermath, if you look at specifically the outsource industry around services, have gained its own upscale. The surge in the corporate sourcing today also has been flourished, and India has been one of the market which is going to be seeing a heavy growth when it comes to the facility management. Just to give a glimpse, in 2022, I think the FMS market is valued close to about around $46 billion, and with a growth ratio of about, predicted growth ratio about 15%, we should be about $100 billion in the next 5 years. That's been the product prediction which has been shared by the industry leaders and research organizations. Getting into the staffing business also has a very similar kind of a growth. The growth ratio of close to about around 6.5% ratio year on year. This industry also should be close to about around $650 billion in the couple of years time. Or more, because the trend actually has been increasing going forward. So in the essence, I just wanted to tell you this, the facility management sector and the is actually outpacing the expectations. It's heavily growing industry, and we basically are in a space where every customer, every business units are looking for services which has to be coming in from workspace and workforce administration. With this small insight about us and industry and the services what we do, I thank you all for your attention, and let me now proceed and give a little more insight about the financials of 2023. So our financial performance has been, performing pretty good. We had a growth of top line revenue growth of about 38%. And it amounts to close to about around 169 crores. With an impressive top line growth, we also have been able to manage an outstanding 83% increase in our EBITDA, reaching to about 4.6 crores. The positive trajectory does not stop here. Our net profit has been surged by staggering 177%, tallying to about 4.38 crores. This is commendable growth in the underscored by an EPS of 5.21%. In the past, we've been actually, having an exponential growth, and we have actually have revenue streamlines, which is basically have helped us to, adapt and prevail, more of the growth and the services which can be offered profitably. I just wanted to probably, looking ahead, and probably we are more, looking at the growth opportunities in the industry, which is going to be serving us more profitable areas and stuff like that. So I just wanted to, thank all of you who've been a part of the call right now. With a brief introduction of us, myself and Amit would be more than happy to take any questions and stuff like that. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Yashwanti Khedkar from Cogent FinFest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for a good set of numbers, sir.
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Your audio is not clear.
Am I clear now?
Yeah, this is better. Please listen.
Yes.
Congratulations for a good set of numbers. So I just wanted to understand your business model, like how you charge for your services and how you pay for the services.
From a business model perspective, ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically I was referring about the two different business lines that we have. So we categorize ourselves as workspace, which is integrated facility management services, and workforce, which is more of manpower and staffing solutions. So the business model is that we basically have you know, our customer segmentation, which is primarily the B2B for the, you know, the workforce ecosystem, and B2B B2C for the workspace ecosystem. So if I had to give you the detail about how do we operate in each segment, so I'll take workspace first. So workspace ecosystem, basically what happens is we basically go and approach multiple verticals. I'll take a corporate segment as an example. We basically get into a contract with the customers and manage the complete facility from an upkeeping till the administration. So there are multiple services within that. Which, you know, basically the hard services, the soft services, the allied services like pest control, the security services, and so on and so forth, which basically allows the customer to maintain and upkeep the entire premises. This is from a B2B perspective. I mean, this also includes the you know, the F&B services like your caterings, your office refreshment, reception management, your mailroom services, your space planning, and so on and forth. So the entire services around the hard services, around the soft services, and the business services is included in a B2B services. Now, when it comes to the B2C, we do maintain and manage the domestic services around the one-time cleaning, which is for the residentials, and also for the retails, also for large complex, property management, villas, apartment complex, and so on and so forth, where we again engage with the agencies there, and then we take over the complete services on a one-time basis, on a short-time basis, on a call basis. So this is where we actually have the workspace coming into picture.
Okay.
If I have to move ahead to the workforce, primarily the workforce happens in the B2B segment, where any customer or any organization which is looking into short-time staffing, long-time staffing, temporary staffing, or a project staffing. So we basically serve across all the different staffing solutions. When I say staffing solution, it actually goes to level of, you know, finding out manpower and to probably deploy them, train them, and handhold them to the projects. So there are multiple things happens around there. So we also create, you know, RPO services, where we actually take the recruitment process from the customer, and we, our team runs the complete recruitment ecosystem for a customer based at customer site. That's one of the examples. Another example is we do take up large project staffing. Just to give example is any of the road projects, any of the airport projects is offloaded to us. So we manage the complete workforce statutories and the salaries which has been paid, and we are the ones who are supposed to be giving the compliance statement to the project holders. So that's one of the contract staffing ecosystem that we do. And we also have staffing solutions around multiple other industries like ITITS, which is looking at short time, you know, employment. They look at, you know, feet on street kind of an services. Those services are done. So any kind of OPEX staffing, we place ourselves into that position.
Okay.
So they're broadly two different. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, this is like a gig workforce services which you do, right?
I couldn't hear you, ma'am.
Is this, you can this classify as a gig workforce services?
Workforce, I mean, I still am not able to hear, ma'am. Sorry
gig,
about this.
GIG, gig workforce services?
Gig is one of those, modern terms which has come up now. So gig basically is not offered as a services right now in India overall, because multiple contracts at the same time is slightly a challenge. But we have our contractors who are with us for a long time, and we give the service to the customer for a specific project once at a time, not as a gig. So gig is still legally authorized by people in India. So I mean, we are obviously working on those platforms where we have the bench which can do gig, but that may take about a couple of years for us to establish on a full-fledged mode.
And sir, how you would be charging? It's a lump sum amount, or it is kind of AMC?
No, ma'am. What happens is there are multiple pricing models depending on the contract and the nature of the contract. So I'll just give example again. So we manage quite a few NOC center for few customers where it is a long time. We have a 5 years contract, so we serve the entire ecosystem, and then it becomes a certain amount of pricing depending on. A contract is for 5 years. Every year it will be renewed in terms of the commercials, depending on the escalations. At the same time, we also have project contracts where we take up, for example, road project, which will have certain amount of staff for about 3 months, certain amount of staff for 1 year, certain amount of staff. So every contract is different in nature. So the charges also are accordingly decided for a workforce ecosystem. For a workspace ecosystem, it is a pretty fixed kind of a charge. There's a window of certain amount of margins. Industry standard is anything between 6 to 12%. So depending on the negotiations and stuff like that happens in FMS industry.
Okay.
But workforce is a totally different, because every industry operates in a different format. Man, for example, recruitment has an 8.33% industry standard. But there are contract which is coming at 12%. There are contract which comes at 6% as well. So it's pretty volatile. So in terms of that operation. And another one to say is about the statutory management, which is payroll management, basically has anything between 2% to 4%, because that's more of only statutory management and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the
work.
Yeah. Suppose the workplace of 1,000 square feet. Is it the rate is as per the square feet, or is it as per the services included in the workplace?
If I have to repeat your question, you're asking if the rate is on the square feet basis, or if it included the charges. Is that what you're asking, ma'am?
If it includes the number of services included in the contract.
Yeah. It's an a la carte based services as well. For example, many of the customers have bifurcated the services into multiple vendors. Because they may not be wanting to put everything into one basket. But so there are a la carte, and there are complete property management services also. Both the ways we have contract with us, ma'am.
And this model is something like different from the WeWork as far as the workstation is concerned.
Sorry, ma'am, your audio is not clear.
Hello? Yeah, actually it's pretty feeble. Ma'am? Yeah, it is jarring, ma'am. Actually, what is happening is its sound is coming with a lot of disturbance.
Oh, am I clear, ma'am?
No, ma'am, it's still
Yeah. We can try it to manage, ma'am. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So this is completely different from like what the WeWork operate as a model, right?
Yeah, so WeWork is more of, giving a facility which is from an infrastructure point of view. So, in fact, what happens is, just to give a clue, WeWork makes the entire infrastructure. We maintain the infrastructure.
Okay.
Yeah, it is that way. So, in fact, we have ourselves exploring into the models of WeWork and stuff like that, where we are creating co-workspace and stuff like that. I mean, that's our plan which is coming up, because there are quite a few space we manage ourselves. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much for your kind explanation. I'll come back in
few. Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Damani from Shree Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Sir, could you please elaborate on the services provided under Workspace Administration?
Under the?
Workspace Administration.
Workspace. Workspace is a modernization for the services which used to be called as the Integrated Facility Management Services, wherein, broadly, I can just give you a brief about, there are three different segments which happens within the FMS ecosystem. There's something called as hard services, which basically is around the building maintenance, which has your electrical, your mechanical, your plumbing, your fire safeties, your O&Ms, and external, internal building maintenance, lift maintenance, and so on and so forth. Those are classified under the physical space management called as hard services. This is one of those services under FMS. And then we have something called as soft services, where we have some traditional services which is available, like your housekeeping, your waste management, your landscaping, your pest controlling, and so on and so forth, which is more to do with, the soft services which is available for maintaining a building. That also complements with, the F&B services, the hospitality services, where we manage, maintain the catering, the canteens, the pantry services, refreshment services for an office space. So that falls under the soft services ecosystem, where we keep the people and the upkeeping of a place. And the third one is the business services, which is a part of the administration ecosystem, where if you see larger companies would have their mail rooms, they will have their logistics to be managed, which is more of inventory management. They will have their conference room and meeting room management. They would have their printers and so on and so forth. So those kind of services also are part of the administrative services. These services is where it's getting outsourced to us, and we manage and maintain this for a B2B customer. When it comes to B2C customer, it is more to do with cleaning services of whichever premises they have. It could be a residential, it could be a apartment, it could be a retail space, or it could be even a smaller, one specific zone area cleaning and stuff like that. Did I help you to understand that?
No, sir, got it. One more question. It's a diverse range of services. How does company ensure that team is equipped to handle the specific need of various segments?
So basically both the functions, both the verticals are independent in terms of its workflow management. So there is a specific team which works on Workspace. So Workspace has more of field activity, wherein we have a full-fledged operation ecosystem which functions, which has got a head of operations. Then we have zonal operation leads who are operating in these spaces. Under them, there is a full-fledged team which operates out of the office who are on the field, wherein they are called as the field executive, field supervisors. They go on to the, they have their rosters and they go to respective customers for their day-to-day activities. We have deployed all these people in the customer location. For example, the housekeepers, for example, the electrician, the plumbers are deployed at the customer site. They are being supervised and monitored by this field people. We also have the training ecosystem. We also have the compliance ecosystem, which functions parallelly to them. We also have the, the administration ecosystem, which actually works on the materials and stuff like that. So this is a full-fledged workflow, which is already functioning for Workspace. And workforce is more of technology and compliance driven. We have applications, we have softwares, which is running in our organization, which takes care of statutories and compliances, salary computations, your payrolls, recruitment, onboarding, offboarding, all that is taken care of by software. And having said this, we also have a full-fledged team in offices and in client space who are working from a resource augmentation point of view. So there are two different ecosystems. The respective verticals have been functioning to manage this entire services across.
Okay, sir. And sir, how many associates does that company currently have on its team, including both permanent and contractual employees?
Yeah, so overall, our headcount as of today stands close to about around little less than 6,000. We have about 5,800 odd people on our roles across India. put together as an overall stack.
Okay. And sir, one more last question. The company's major ensure client satisfaction across the diverse portfolio? What is any major?
If you can just help me to repeat that question again.
Yeah, sir, how does the company measure and ensure client satisfaction across the diversified portfolio?
You're asking about the client satisfaction levels?
Yes.
Measuring?
Yes.
Okay, so I can give you that as well. So basically, I will have to divide this again to workspace and workforce. So workspace, which every time there is a QBR, which is done with the customer, and there is a customer CSS, customer satisfaction survey, which is done every month, and then that reports have been consolidated, and we have actually been publishing to the customers as well. So today, that's an engine, and that's a responsibility of a field engineer who's managing certain amount of sites. So they go and take that, and everything is on a rotation basis. Today, it is user-based customer satisfaction and the administration-based customer satisfaction. So that report comes in, and on that basis, the review systems are done from a workspace point of view. Workforce point of view, it is again automated. There is a grievance cells. There is a survey which is done for all the employees every quarter, which is coming to us as a digital survey report. And on that basis is where we present this to the customers who have given the contract to us. So for workspace, it is more of field level customer satisfaction reports. For workforce, it is more of automated process which happened over a application software. And we are 90% and above in terms of satisfaction ratios as of today.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Hemani Ubhan from Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Am I audible?
Yeah,
so my question is, given that you provide workspace solutions, could you provide insights into how this particular segment operates?
Yeah, ma'am. So I think from a vertical point of view, I think it's clear, right? I mean, I just want to explain about how does the industry work on this. Is it what you're asking, ma'am?
Yeah.
So basically, if you look at, contract staffing or recruitment or the payroll management actually have gained the momentum in the last 4-5 years timeline, and it's going to go further up, and to its trajectory is going higher. Reason number one is that there are quite a few large organizations, small organizations are not certain about the projects and the workforce, what they have to deploy, plus the capitals are getting tougher, people don't have budgets for new headcounts, the projects are increasing, the amount of infrastructure projects which is happening for India is increasing, which actually has probably a life of 1 year to 3 year to 5 years. So none of the large corporates, none of the infrastructure players, none of the ITS player wanted to probably take those expenses onto their CapEx. That's why OpEx player come into picture. This is the background about why OPEX is required. Now, getting into the modality of how this happens, I'll probably take a couple of examples. One is from an infrastructure point of view. Second is from the ITS point of view. So, infrastructure. If I take an example, there would be companies who would come up with a project of constructing a building, which has to be completed in due course of 3 years. Our approach is that we basically sign up as a subcontractor with the construction company and take over the complete staffing on us, and we do complete recruitment. We also onboard what they have recruited, and we maintain and manage all the risk, all the statutories, all the salary outflow at our end, and we charge them a service charge. This is pretty vanilla. So what happens is, depending on the nature of the project, the onboarding can go higher. Onboarding also can reduce depending on the nature and the scale of the project, which is increasing. Which means that there could be labors will be on our onboard, and there could be project directors also who will be on roles as the project increases. this has a continuity process, because if at all we have signed up with one customer and they have been handling multiple projects, the employment continues. Otherwise, the employment is defined for certain timelines and it discontinues and we move to the next project. Now, this is from a specifically a contract staffing or a payroll management point of view. At the same time, I'll take an example of ITES, where it's a slightly different in nature because the domains are different, the category is different. So there are ITES recruitment which happens, which is again temporary recruitment, which also happens permanent recruitment. There is also contract staffing which happens for different segment. For example, there are feet on street which are for ITES, which is offered to us. There are specific project which is required to be concluded in a year's time. They offload the entire technical staff on us, and we maintain, manage, and also do managed services for that. So we give, for example, Java stack. We give a Java stack to the customers, and then we also look at doing a staff augmentation and resource augmentation through the internal sources that we have. That becomes a managed services ecosystem. So there are varied options of giving services under the under the workforce ecosystem. I hope did I bring clarity to you?
Yeah. Another question: what would you consider as a sustainable margin for a business model?
Okay. So that's actually a pretty volatile question. So what happens is, so this industry, it's operating with quite a few players, unorganized, organized, international players in the market, which are currently operating. So there's a lot of things which is driven by certain factors, and the certain things are from the customer perspective. The customers are very alarm about being statutory compliant is where we actually put our services into. So there is unhygiene market which is available. So sustainable market for a payroll management or a contract staffing varies anything between 3 to 5% is a segment depending on the customer's a la carte options what they're looking at. And for ITES services, it's anything between 8 to 11%. So that's a margin which is operating. The volume lies in the payroll ecosystem, wherein the staffing becomes high volume, and the profitability lies in your technical staffing and other resources, recruitments and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible to provide a revenue split between our workspace and workforce divisions?
You're talking about the business share?
Yeah.
Yeah, so as of today, we basically have our workforce contribute close about on 75% of our top line, and about 25% is contributed by the workspace ecosystem. So workforce, we operate across India, and workspace, we operate in three different geographies. This is Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, and Telangana state. So it's 75-25%, ma'am. Yeah.
Can you provide a breakdown of the market share between organized and unorganized players in the industry?
So basically, we have to depend on a couple of market research guys. So, while we were trying to be, coming on board and stuff like that, we were trying to understand that. So the research, a couple of research institutes have given us some kind of an idea about this. So currently close to about more than 50% of the market in this segment, specifically from an FMS point of view, is managed by unorganized, which actually is a huge, probability for us to grow in that space. So unorganized sector still takes more than 50% share in this industry now.
Okay.
So the regulations and the statutory compliance are making it rigid, wherein that's where we see a lot of opportunity in terms of players like us contributing and getting more share of business.
And sir, how are you promoting a diverse and inclusive work environment?
This is from a percentage point of view, we still have more than 30-odd% of our staffing, which is on a diverse model. So we do have our recruitment services, which basically has added advantage to the clients when they are actually recruiting, a lady staff and stuff like that. So we've been actually able to balance that, and we've been a part of. I mean, our MD is also, somebody who has actually been, last 20, 25 years, has been only working to promote a diverse ecosystem of functioning. So in fact, in our administrative ecosystem also, we have a pretty bias. We have close to about around 45% of our staffs who are diverse. So pretty balanced as of now. Yeah, but then, this has to scale up. Yeah.
Okay. And so my last question is, with increasing global competition, what measures are we taking to maintain market position?
Yeah, I think as of now, the global players have not been able to do a much of impact in India. Obviously, yes, there is a segment of global customers in nature and global solution providers, like service providers in nature. They obviously fall back into them. But then we, as in India, we still have a lot of growing segments and a lot of Indian-based MNCs, which is contributing, which still looks at a lot of flexibility in terms of services. Compliances, history of the compliances to be enabled and stuff like that. In fact, one of the best example to give you, reserving to name, but we obviously have been partnering with quite a few larger global players who are coming to India and looking at outsourcing the service to us, and we have been partnering with them as well. So as of now, we're able to, that's from a market point of view. From a customer's point of view, there are instances where global players have taken up the contract and the customer has to come back to us because they operate at really, really high margins, which basically is one of those, ROI factors for many customers. So as of now, if you ask me, although in few pockets we have faced the global competition, but we are still able to be managing to pick up our share of business from many of them.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from Cogen Finvest. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Good afternoon. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So
thank
I have
much,
few yeah. questions regarding related to bookkeeping and on the business model. So first of all, I wanted to understand your staff. So you just said your workforce of around 6,000. So how we are maintaining the need if arises for scaling up? So how easy is it for you to scale up? And also, I wanted to understand the breakup between this 5,800, how much on contractual basis, and how many is on your payroll?
I think there are two questions in this. The first question was to understand that how do we manage the scale-up options, in case we get more contract, how do we manage that? And the second question is in terms of understanding what is our breakup of 6,000 in terms of contracts versus in
your
our payroll, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let me take the first one. I think the scaling up option is pretty viable today because there are challenges in certain industries. If you look at IT, ITES. There is iterations of more than 40%. So that becomes a challenging industry for us to probably look at how to, cater more and more, relevant ecosystem people to the companies. That becomes relevant. But there is, if I bifurcate the, domains further, let's take a domain of FMS, which is more to do with the blue collar jobs and the yellow collars and the white collars. So, yellow collar is the one which basically has the volumes, and blue collars is something which is the entrance side. So what we create for having a standby or scalability option in the blue collar is by creating the bench strength. So
okay.
There is a bench strength we manage internally within the regions for catering the immediate needs. And we also have it's something called as the operation recruiters, which are the manpower hunting team, which basically pulls in people from multiple domains, and we manage their accommodations, we give them facility, we train them, and then deploy them into the sites. So obviously that industry also has more than 45% of iterations, but it's the rotation, because every ecosystem is functioning. You know, it's a pretty niche ecosystem. It's easier to source people to put in there with a marginal increment of the cost. That's from a blue collar perspective. So yellow collar perspective, it's a widespread, and there's a lot of profiles, a lot of people available for picking up the jobs and fulfilling that. Specifically look at infrastructures, especially look at the sales, especially look at the allied services. There are tons of resumes which is available for us to fulfill and then do it. At the same time, we also use a rotation policy. For example, the project completion happens, we immediately deploy those similar resources to the next project. So that way, there is the augmentations are taking care. There are shortfalls because it's not easy to hold the labors together for some time. But we obviously have been creating this for the last 20 odd years, so there is an ecosystem which is able to help us to get this entire thing rolling pretty faster. We do have our challenges when it comes to IT, ITS. Yeah, we do have challenges because, there was a time in 2000, during the pandemic, there were quite a few shopping happening. So we do recruitment, we do place them to a client site. And then, for your surprise, they keep moving in, right? So that was a trend which is there. But having said this, we've been actually in a sweet spot now, because industry is getting into normalization, and there is conversion which is happening, sustainable conversion which is happening in IT/ITS. So that way it is pretty, looking pretty positive right now for IT/ITS segment. So if you ask me, we are right now even are capable to take more than 10,000 odd resources onto our roles. We are prepared for that in terms of our backups. So that has been planned up. Yeah. Coming to the second question was,
Please go ahead.
Yeah. See, specifically when I'm talking about you're asking me about the payroll
staff on contract.
Yeah. So basically, when I say for us, the entire 6,000 people are on our payroll, so it's completely on our payroll. We manage and maintain them in total. In total, completely is managed. In that, we also have our administrative staffs of close to about around 50 of them, which operates out of the offices. Rest is all deployed at the customer sites. So we basically have everybody on our payroll. In that, close to about around 80% of the staffs are on the contract basis. That is, the customer has given us a contract, we have onboarded them, and they are on our payroll, and we are managing their state duties and salaries. So if you look at, everybody actually is on our payroll, and 85% of them are at the client side.
Okay. So you just talked about the bench. So currently, as you say, 80-85% are on client side. That means they are...
Yeah, they are active. Yeah, they're active. They're active and functioning as a franchisee.
Yeah. So for the bench part, for how many months there will be one resource will be on the bench prior to you tell them to...
If you ask me, all the benches right now, it is getting consumed every month. So we have very less... So we have just given the forecast of actually increasing the bench to another 10% for every segment. So if you look at IT/ITS, we have a segment, and we have the FMS segment. We actually have asked for increment of headcount as well there for bench itself. So there is a shortage of bench. Yeah.
Okay. So just to get the more idea about the segments which are you getting the revenue, so which will be the industry will be the highest contributor? So it will be IT or any of the other segments?
So let me again bifurcate that into two different segments. So I have to always give a reference of both on a different platform. So for the FMS, which is our workspace, I think we have a decent share coming in from the you know, the banking user, the BFSI. We manage and maintain quite a few banks. ITITS contributes a decent, and infrastructure contributes, infrastructure education contributes in my FMS space. When I say ITITS, ITS is a further segmentation of BPOs, healthcare, you know, IT and stuff like that. So I'm just combining them as a single umbrella called ITITS. They contribute, you know, more than 25% of my revenue from a FMS point of view. Banking also has close to about around 40% of my contribution happening in an education segment. Manufacturing is further contributors for our FMS business. And these are segment also which is growing. You know, ITS is the only one which probably are not investing on much of real estate. They are getting into the smaller offices. But having said this, growth for these industries are very constant for us, and that is where we do for workspace. From a staffing point of view, from a payroll workforce point of view, our majority of you know, services revenues are from the infrastructure, engineering, and manufacturing side, where we have quite a few staff fulfilled in these particular ecosystem. Technology is something which is after that. So we have close to about around 18% odd on technology front right now, and the rest is all from infrastructure, engineering, manufacturing, and ITITS.
Okay. Got it. Thank you for the brief explanation.
Another
question is related to the similar lines. So around our total, out of our total customers, top 10 customers will be contributing how much to the revenues?
Corporate, when you say, is B2C, B2B?
Overall, as in service care, as in total service
no,
care?
So, it's more than 90% is from a corporate enterprise ecosystem, because we have started the B2B, B2C services during the pandemic, where, you know, the entire focus shifted from B2B to B2C. Mm. So if you ask me, currently our 90% of the billings, our customers who are there right now are from a B2B segment.
Okay, corporate.
So,
of this 90%, your top 10 customers will be contributing how much?
Close to about around 80 to 83%. Top 10 customers when I refer,
In FY23, you have done around 160 crores. So out of which, almost let's say 140 crores.
121 from the top 10 customers across.
Got it. And on the business development front, so what is the procedure of getting a new contract, and how much time did it take to get the client on board?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there is the field sales team which operates in the zone, and then we also operate with quite a few consultants. We operate with a lot of onboarding agencies where they help us to get customer onboarded, and our sales team does it. So basically the entire ecosystem is set. So again, I'll bifurcate these two industries. So when it comes to janitorial, one of the property when we sign a contract with them for us to get onboarded is just about 2 to 3 weeks time, which is we called as the onboarding implementation time frame, where we basically set the entire place, we recruit the people, we get the uniforms going, we get the machine and machinery deployed, we get the logbooks ready, we automate the software for attendance and stuff. So that takes about 3 to 4 weeks to onboard a new customer who's coming on with us. We basically, you know, take a 1 month onboarding time from the customer to do this. And from a manpower and the recruitment and, you know, the contract staffing point of view, it is in couple of hours, because we have our software ready. The moment we have the data in hand, in few minutes, we are up and running for ready for the, you know, for the data that's running.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So continue on this line. So how, what's your average billing cycle to the your customers? So you must be paying your staff on a monthly basis. So how much did it take to get it realized from the customers?
Yeah. So there again, See, the average, if you look at, is about 45 to 60 days time. But there are, I'm just talking about the average, but there are customers who we have got terms on advanced terms, and there are customers who we have got terms on 30 days, 15 days. So different projects, different structures have been followed. But if you have to give me an average, anything between 45 to 60 days, we get our payment from the customer.
Okay, so effectively your working capital cycle will be around that only, because it's right. Majorly a manpower driven business. So
absolutely.
Okay. And last two questions. One of our earlier participants asked about the sustainable margins. So we are, I think, on EBITDA level, we were somewhere around 2.9 or 3% odd. So is there any scope of improving this?
Yeah, so basically, revenue streams have been coming in from a certain segments, which is, if you look at my volumes, are majority from the infrastructure ecosystem, and our volumes have been slightly lesser from a high margin business. So the entire business plan that we have been posting across, and then we have been circulating, is talking about how to go to segments and how to capitalize business which is profitable. We obviously had our own challenges on capital where we were trying to invest and stuff like that. So now if you look at our growth plan, is to increase business around IT/ITES where it's profitable. We are looking at property management services, allied services, which operates anything between 10 to 12%. We're trying to onboard, or we're already in the process to onboard few services in the janitorial, which is around the BVG, the background verification services, the recruitment services on to certain segments specifically, which actually operates at 8 to 12%. So our go-to-market strategy is all around that. So we are trying to balance this out and then get into the spaces where the margins are higher. At the same time, economy of scale also becomes very important, because that actually keeps your number higher. So our contribution on headcount on domain-based approach is where we are trying to do the immediate way to probably compromise or to look at going on a better profit lines.
Okay. So we can assume you will be diversifying in new geographies for the workspace related services, or you will be operating still at your three markets that you are present in.
Yeah, so precisely to give the insight about that, the drawing boards are right now active in terms of we expanding our workspace ecosystem to west and north, which is going to be happening in the next couple of quarters, and we probably may limit that to west and north for this financial year and look at the micro ecosystem. So if you look at just to give an insight, since you asked this question, because after COVID, the entire work ecosystem has been redefined. Many of the companies have been looking at starting offices in the T3, T4 cities. In fact, we have already have started satellite offices in the cities where there is employment being offered, there has been workspace been coming up and stuff like that. So that becomes another growth. So within this state itself, we are looking at satellite offices coming up, which is additional revenue stream. Yeah.
Okay. So that can be handled from your offices, or you will be setting up a new setup at some of the areas?
I mean, these are satellite office, which basically means that the HQ or the regional offices can cater the scale of services which is required. But we would have resources and storage or warehouses available in these locations wherever we are setting up the workspace ecosystem here.
Got it.
Yeah, so the operating expense perspective, satellite office does not cost much. It's only cost the onboarding of resources.
Got it. So currently, your average monthly payout to your employees will be how much?
Monthly payout...
So I want to help me understand. I will just simplify. So for the FY23, you had a cost of employee benefit was around somewhere around 80 crores. Correct?
Okay.
So somewhere around 152 crores. So this was your for the 12 month. Correct.
All right.
So I was just wanted to know average billing per month and average salary of a resource.
See, if I don't segment anything, if I basically have to go by
as an organization
yeah,
level.
So I think if you look at, I think it should be anything about 30,000 per month per sources. I mean, because there is different segment with different salaries and stuff like that. So I'm just So I'm just averaging, irrespective of all that, just for you know giving an overview to you.
Okay. Fair enough.
This
is all on the this side. And just wanted to understand on the IPO front. So you had raised how much money?
I'll get Amit, you there?
Yeah, hi. We raised about 20.86 crores.
Okay. And major deployments will be usage of proceeds will be?
Towards working capital, because like what Anil just said, capital intensive industry it is. The more working capital we get, the faster and more clients can be onboarded. I think you also understood our business better because you just said that we have a 45 to 60 day cycle. So tentatively that's what happens, but certain times there are corporates when there is pain points of cash flows, these 45, 60 day cycle change to 60, 75 days. And that's when this capital is going to be very helpful for us. And previous to this, I think you just asked another question of our average pay cycle, which is about 26,000.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. If there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Kajol Gowda for a closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference of Service Care Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us to at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much once again to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kirin Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.